Reb Chaim Wolfenstein, Pashas Yisroi. Don't worry, it's fine. Shalom Aleichem.
Okay, go scare.
You're all on.
Okay. Good morning, everybody.
You want a drink, though?
Yeah, just water, please.
Drink water, cold water, yeah?
I'd like to give over, Bez Hashem, some insights into this week's parasha to enhance our Shabbos table. And this week is Parashas Yisroi. We're going to start off with the first Rashi in Parashas Yisroi. It says, Vayishma Yisroi. What did he hear? So Rashi comments he heard Kriyas Yamsuf and Mechemes Amalek. Now all the nations heard Kriyas Yamsuf, right? Ozev Halu Lufa Yadayim Elay Mayav Yechazem Road Tiba Elay Mosav Vachad Because of Yachid Yidu Koven. Everybody heard it, right? Everybody trembled with fear. Egypt and Mitzrayim was the most powerful nation in the world. Kadosh Baruch Hu brought them to their knees with the Makas Bacharis, the final Makkah, and then afterwards Kriyas Yamsuf. He drowned all of them in the Yamsuf, and he obviously took care of all the most powerful soldiers that they had. So how come the other nations also didn't tremble and didn't make a move when they heard that? So the answer is that they heard it, but they didn't follow up, and it wore off, and they went back to the old ways. Yisrael, on the other hand, kept the inspiration, and he became a ger. So that's the first thing we see about Yisrael, that when he heard the inspiration, right, when he saw it, rather, so he kept it, and he decided to take some action and do something about it. But the actual question is a bigger question, is what's the second thing that Rashi says? Mechemes Amalek. What was the big thing, Mechemes Amalek? It was a Mechama, they won. Moshe's hands were hurt up, they put down, whatever. Interesting Mechama they had between both of them. But between Kai Yisrael and the Amalek. What turned him on that he should become a ger because of Mechemes Amalek? So, the answer is as follows. He asked the question, how? How could Amalek do such a thing after seeing Kriyas Yamsuf? After seeing what happened to the Egyptian, to the mighty, mighty nation of Mitzrayim, how could they dare to go to fight Klal Yisrael? Hearing the downfall of Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yamsuf, they heard, what could they do? And Rashi says they broke the ice. He says, when somebody goes to particles off the pot. So what they did is they broke the ice for other nations and say, listen, there's nothing wrong with attacking the Jews, attacking the Klal Yisrael. Look what happened. We can attack them also. So they cooled off the pot, Rashi says. Now the Malbim explains also that in this war that they waged against Klal Yisrael, there was no really personal gain. There was no gain of land. They fought the weakest, as it says in Parshas Kiseitze, Vayizami v'cha kol nechashol macharecha v'ato oyef v'yogea. That they took the weakest ones and they were all tired, and that's how they tried to win them. And the Malbim says that they were actually kofim in Kadosh Baruch Hu. They were atheists. They wanted to show Chas V'Shalom that Kadosh Baruch Hu cannot protect his own nation, and all the miracles that Kadosh Baruch Hu did was Chas V'Shalom through Kishuf, through magic. So Yisrael asked, how could that be? It's impossible to think such a thing. So when he saw that, it was the same thing. The same theme, he was inspired by, how can they do it? How can they do such a thing? So the first one was Kriyas Yamsuf, right? He says, wow, the great Kadosh Baruch Hu did, I have to come here. The second one, we know that Yisrael was, he was served all the Avodah Zarah. He Gadol Hashem Mikol Elohim. The Pasuk says, Rashi says, he served all the Avodah Zarah in the world. But nevertheless, right, he saw it's all false. When he saw what Amalek was able to do, he saw it's all false. He convinced that without the Torah, life is useless. It means nothing. Thank you. So we learned from Yisrael to grab the moment of inspiration. We have a guest speaker coming. He speaks about Shabbos, Kedusha Shabbos, or accepting Shabbos earlier, being more careful about Shabbos, speaks to the women about Tzniyas, speaks to the oil about Lashon Hara, to inspire your Lashon Hara. You come home and you're all excited. Wow, what a speaking. I'm in with the wow. What happens the next day? You come home late, 9:30, 10 o'clock at night, you're tired, you take a little drink, or something, a snack, go to sleep the next morning, that's it. Right? Well, what happened? We had a nice speaker last night, it was very inspiring, and that's the end of that. Chaval, it's lost. The inspiration is lost. Rabbi Yeruchim writes as follows. Rabbi Yeruchim said that at, by the Egel, Kadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu when he was in Har Sinai, Soru Maher Min HaDerech. What's Soru Maher Min HaDerech? They strayed quickly from the Derech. So he says as follows. It was only 6 weeks after Matan Torah. 6 weeks after Matan Torah, and they left after Har Sinai. How can they do such a thing? Where is the inspiration? They lost it, and it was bothering Kadosh Baruch Hu that they didn't have the inspiration. Moreover, Rabbeinu Yehuda writes in Shari Tshuva that there's a special Yetzihara, right, to, that a person should be uninspired if he gets inspired, to remove the inspiration. So you have to know that when you're inspired by something, if you don't do something right away, there's going to be a Yetzihara to make you lose that inspiration. So the Maaseh, how do we retain the inspiration? So two things which I can mention now in the short period of time. First of all, Rabbi Victor Miller said it's very important to not to make litzonis. Don't joke around afterwards. Basil Yisharim writes, it's also a medrash in Shir HaShirim, we know litzonis echad doicha elef teichachos. One litzonis can push away 1,000 teichachos. Right? What's litzonis is frivolity, joking. It eliminates 1,000 rebukes and spiritual inspiration. So some examples will be making a mocking remark about a speaker's dress, about his drasha, right, how he's dressed, and maybe something wasn't neat about what he, how his suit was, how his tie was, or about his drasha, which is also about also Lashon Hara. So you do something like that, this is all finished. The same thing after Yom Narayim. Person comes, finishes Yom Kippur davening, he's all inspired with Neila. Then he starts joking around a little bit, so that joke already erases all the inspiration that he got during Neila. Rav Avraham Palm said as follows. He said, how do we retain inspiration? Chazal say, Masechta Brachas, Avav, that we should not leave shul in a hurry. We shouldn't take a psia gasa, which is also brought down Shulchan Aruch in Hilchas Tevila. Similarly, we should not run away when we get inspired. Take the theme of the shir with you. Think how you can apply it, and if not, you will lose it. For example, a person visits somebody sick in the hospital in the house, and he's invalid for a while. When he goes out, he says, Baruch Hashem, I'm healthy. I can breathe. I can walk on my 2 feet. Right? And take it with you. Don't just say, okay. As soon as you walk out of the house, you go to your mobile phone, you start going on, clicking away, and you forget about, you know, what you inspired before. Right? So therefore, take the inspiration with you. There's a story told about the Chofetz Chaim Yeshiva in Yeshiva in Radin, that he once received an envelope with 500 rubles in cash, and it wasn't registered. Right? It wasn't certified in those days. Now you can imagine what the postal system was in the 1920s or 1910s. It wasn't like it was today, so anybody can feel the bills in the envelope and just pinch it and finish, that's the end of it. Anyway, it arrived in the yeshiva, and they were quite, you know, bothered by how come, who sends this amount of cash in the mail? So before he used the money, he sent one of his talmidim to the sender, and he says, did you make a mistake in the address? He said, no, I want this 500 rubles go to yeshiva. My high, what's the story behind this? He says as follows. He said, I made a business deal, right, a little while ago, and I pledged that if I'll be successful, I'm going to give 500 rubles to the yeshiva. Okay? So, Baruch Hashem, I was successful. I had the 500 rubles, but by the time I got it all together, right, the post office was closed. So I figured I'll wait till next day. I'll send the next day certified mail, make sure it gets to the yeshiva. I come home, and I hear a little voice, right, in my mind, right? His little voice says, 500 rubles? That's a lot of money to give to the stocker. I said, I think she would be happy even with 50 rubles. Said, that would be also good. Of course they would. So why do I have to send so much money in the mail? Why do I have to give them such a big donation? And I saw that my determination was dissipating. And I was afraid that if I waited until the next day, my donation would diminish to 5 rubles. So therefore, I decided to forget about it, put the money in the envelope, hope for the best, say, commit to tell him, send it off, and that's how you got it. So that's the thing, that's what we learned. If you don't grab the moment, right, you don't, so the moment will run away from you. You're inspired, you got to do it right away. And that's what Yisrael's godless was, and we have to learn from it. Basilis Yisharm writes in Perek Zion that there's no greater danger than the danger of losing an opportunity to do a mitzvah. Ein sakona kesakonosai. There's no greater danger if you lose that mitzvah. If you don't seize the moment now, the moment will escape and may be lost forever. That's what we learned from Yisrael. As we move on in the parasha, we go to Matan Torah, and we find before Matan Torah, Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, "Vigbalto esom saviv leimor yishomer lechem alayis b'har negei b'katzeil kol negeim b'har mos yimos." Set the boundaries around Har Sinai, saying, "Beware! Right? Don't ascend Mount Dahar or touch the edge. Whoever touches will die." will die. Rabbi Avigdor Miller asks the Kasha. He says, I don't understand this. He says, why do you have to threaten them with the death penalty? What's the thing? We're talking about adults over here. He says, imagine a dignitary comes to visit a city, comes to visit London. And so they put police barriers around, they put ribbons, and the police are standing near the guards not to go over the barrier. Right? So nobody goes over because they may get a fine or maybe put in jail. You won't find a policeman standing with a gun and says, if you go over the barrier, I'm going to shoot you. Right? Don't go. There's no such thing. So why did Klal Yisrael need to be threatened by death in order not to go to Har Sinai? So he answers as follows. He answers with an important yisod, understanding one of the man's greatest desires during his lifetime. When the Shabbat created man, it says, Vayivach v'apav nishmas chayim. So you know the Unkle says, Ruach Mamala, speed to be able to speak, the Koyach of speech. He quotes the Zayar as saying as follows, Man de novach mi delay novach. That when a person blows something, he's blowing something of himself. Like you blow up a balloon with your ear, so your ear goes with the balloon. So if you close the balloon, your ear is in the balloon. Ear is in the balloon. So he says, there's a chelik of lakai mimal in a person, every person in the Shama. He says, this person in Shama yearns for its source. Because it's a davar ruchani, something ruchnius. It learns from its source. What does he want? What does he want? He wants to learn Torah and do mitzvahs. And that's the way he satisfies a person in the Shama. If you give a person gashmias, he's not satisfied, and he keeps yearning more and more. And the solution is not to give him more gashmias, right? Because Mishi Eshlein Mona writes a Messiah. Always want more. And as the grog gives the mushroom, you quench your thirst with salt water. Right? Never a person is salty. He's traveling on a salty sea. And he's thirsty. He ran out of water. So he stopped drinking the salt water. That's Nishke Netzah. He's just going to get, it won't quench his thirst. An animal, on the other hand, has no desire. You put an animal in a field with grass and water, you leave it with his mate, he'll stay there. He has no desire to travel the world or to see anything. No desire, doesn't want to go to a restaurant, goes to any place else. He's happy with what he has. So Rav Dessler explains this as follows. He says, basically, this desire is to want what you don't have. It's not you want this, you want what you don't have. Therefore, you'll never satisfy your desire. He writes that during most of a person's life, this, by the way, is the Chelek Gimel, page 180, if you want to look it up, Michtam Elio. He says, he writes that during most of a person's lifetime, he's always lacking something, and is constantly seeking to acquire what he's missing. As a result, he does not fulfill a desire. When he does fulfill a desire, his satisfaction is only momentarily, because he will then start focusing on something else that he doesn't have. He says, this explains why a person will never satisfy even half of his desires before he leaves this world. Ein oda meis v'chatzita avosa biyodai. So he gives a mashal of a mashal which is also brought down in one of the Midrashim, of a princess who married a farmer. Now the princess is used to living in a royal palace, getting, you know, with fancy food, fancy dishes and everything. The farmer wants to satisfy her. So what does he do? He cooks up his gourmet dish of some potatoes, a bissel kartoffel, a bissel meat in a pot, and some well-aged beer, and some schnapps, and put on this wooden blade, and serves it to her. She's one with ekledik, right? Can't take it. Not used to such a thing. So he said the same thing. When a person tries to satisfy his desire with something gashmias, the neshama doesn't even want it, doesn't even look at it. It's not going to satisfy his desire at all. And all mankind yearns intensely, but they don't know what they're doing. They always want more and more. We're always looking for stuff. You notice people are always trying to change something. Even in the advertisements, right? The advertisements. A new product, right? The same product, but new packaging. Why do you have to have new packaging? What's time we going to do packaging? What's wrong with the old packaging? So you have to have something new. Something you have to have a shinoi. Something different. And if you notice today, all the appliances, when I was a child, right, they advertised a certain appliance that they've been using it for the past 25 years is going humming like a bird, as they say. Right? Today, the appliances are not going to make the break because in 2 years now, they're going to have new ones with new digital gadgets in it. And people, it doesn't pay to repair them anymore. It's too expensive to repair. So give the cheapest thing there. It breaks in 2 years, you buy a new one. Because that's the way the world, they want coming always new. They say that, you know, when you buy a computer, you buy any handheld device, before you walk out of the shop, already there's a new model there. You don't have to worry about looking. It's already there, already. They're working constantly. However, right, so therefore the world is never happy. They're always looking more and more and more. As soon as the latest iPhone will come out, right, everybody's running to get it, no matter how much it costs. Unbelievable. Even in Gaza, the poor city, quote-unquote, of Gaza, people are running to buy these iPhones. They also have these fancy phones. However, we know that what satisfies our desire when we do mitzvahs? Do chesed, staka, learn through a sugya, come home from a shir. After that, we have a tremendous feeling of satisfaction. Why? Because we fed the neshama what it wants. We feed the neshama, it wants davar ruchani, something ruchani sticks, that's why a person feels satisfied then. Now, how to apply this in our daily living? So the Chofetz Chaim writes as follows. He said, in order for a person to be happy with his life in Gashmias, he has to see what he has, not what he's missing. Count your blessings. See everything what you have. There's so much to be thankful for. A person has health, right? Friends, he's healthy, Baruch Hashem. If he looks, you know, he sees people maybe in his class that when he went to school many, many years ago, they're not healthy, maybe Rachman and Sam are not around anymore. He is still walking the earth. Right? People ask me when I travel, I usually go to the same cities each time, how do you feel? I'm walking the earth, Baruch Hashem, I'm still able to travel. As Rabbi Saul Zlatan said, that calls him out that if the candle was burning, we can do work. Right? So, Baruch Hashem, be thankful. You have health, you have children, you have a job, very important, a job. No job is secure today. Nobody can tell what can happen. Baruch Hashem, you're working, you have a job. It's difficult. It's difficult work, but Maisa, you bring the parnosa. But people are always complaining. Always complaining. Always looking at another person's home, another person's car, electronic devices, l'minehem, honor, wealth. The world is on a run looking for more pleasure in Gashmias. Looking for exotic and expensive vacations. It's only momentary fun, but it doesn't bring a person any happiness at all. And they got frustrated because they never satisfied the desire. It's a mad race with no end, and sometimes it ends up in suicide. Rav Pam has an expression, where do we find the city of happiness? People want happiness. You know where you find the city of happiness? In your state of mind. State of the mind. Right? You think, if you have good thoughts, a person will always be happy. So Rav Miller continues, says, why did Kadosh Baruch Hu create a man with such a desire? Right? Something which is very difficult to cope with and to find out what it is. He says, to remind us that we're not living for this world and we should aspire to be close to Hashem and attain ruchnius for the afterlife. We need constant reminders that there is an Olam Haba. We're not living for this world. To know about Olam Haba. How many people actually feel, right, every day in their daily lives that we're living for the next world? Do we ever speak about it at the Shabbos table? He mentions that when he was a child, or maybe in Europe, there used to be a little piece of wood that the Shabbos used to bang on a cushion and bang in the middle of davening, and he'd say, I want everybody to know we're davening to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu in the world. Somebody said, forget about it. You come and you daven, right, you saw Baruch Shalom, you come a little late, you go faster, forget you're davening to Hashem. You get the clap of the beam and say, we're davening to Kadosh Baruch Hu. But you should think that there's Olam Haba, we're living for this world. So therefore, when one gets an unnecessary urge for pleasure, or item to purchase, he should remember two things. First of all, never satisfy the desire. And second, it's a reminder that there's an Olam Haba and focus on using this desire for increased Torah mitzvahs and ma'aseh and taiva. There's one desire, one which is good, which Chazal say, kinas seifim tar bechachma. If you're jealous of somebody else's learning, it'll be mar bechachma. But chutz from that, people do the opposite. People, when they come to Gashmias, they look at somebody who has more than them. When they come to Ruchnias, they see somebody who has less than them, so they feel good about themselves. Tavis al-Bavi says, Punkfakert. Because the Gashmi is looking at somebody who has less than you, so you must be satisfied. Because the Ruchni is looking at somebody who has more than you, and you want to aspire to become a greater person. So, Rabbi Victor Miller concludes that the desire of the Yidden Har Sinai was so strong and so intense, such a yearning for Ruchni, see, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the only way to contain this desire was to threaten them with death. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to say, right, most you must. As we move on to parasha, we go to the Sarasa Dibrais, which is one of the central themes of this week's parasha. And we're going to speak a little bit about the mitzvah of honoring parents. I have a book in the back, which is for purchase if you want to look at it, about all the concepts and ideas about honoring parents. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch writes as follows. Tzorach lizor me'oid mekibet ava ve'imay u'meirom. You have to be very careful, mekibet avaim and revering them, fearing them. Kadosh Baruch Hu equated honoring parents to Kadosh Baruch Hu, to himself. When a person honors his parents, his mother and his father, so Chazal someplace is as if you honored me. Now we're talking about kibud av ve'im, not talking to be mechabed our children also, but we mechabed ourselves also. People who have parents who are alive, we're addressing this issue too. You have to write the mitzvah kibud avim applies to you just equally as your children. The severity of kibud avim, of being fulfilled this mitzvah, is indicated because it's included in the aseres hadibros. And also Chazal says, chamur sheh b'chamurais. It's quoted in the Chayodah, chamur sheh b'chamurais. One of the most stringent of all the mitzvahs. Right, compared to eating chametz haPesach, chil Shabbos, eating Yom Kippur. Nevertheless, the laxity in fulfilling this mitzvah is evident from the shurim that I give. People just don't know what it's all about. I was once counseling a couple many years ago, and then one of the tarets was the kids were a little bit chutzpah day. So I asked the parents, did you ever train your child and keep it avayim? You know, a little bit. Looked at me as if, what am I talking about? Didn't know anything about it. What's going on over here? A basic mitzvah, you don't train your child in it. So the first step, if you want to train your child, to train yourselves in the mitzvah, is to know the halachas. You must learn the halachas. Chavos Chaim writes in the Hakdama to Hilchos Shabbos, the Mishnah Berurah, that you can't keep Shabbos unless you know the halachas. Right? People say, well, I'm a good Jew. I'm a good Jew at heart. We call him a cardiac Jew. I'm a good Jew at heart. I don't keep them. I'm a good Jew at heart. You cautious here and there, whatever. That's not enough. You have to know the halachas. You have to review the halachas during the year with your children, with yourself. I advise to do it 3 times a year when it's mentioned in the Torah. It's mentioned twice in the Aseres HaDibros, Parshas Yisrael, Parshas Vetchanan, and Parshas Kedoshim, it mentions that it's the mitzvah of Yirah, of Imay V'Aviv Tiro. So if we could review them, the basic halachas with your children or yourselves at that time. You can use the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch to Chayodim, or have a chart here of the basic mitzvahs in the back, which you can take a copy of it, look it over, or if you want to do more research, take the booklet, and explain what's the time of the mitzvah Kibud Av V'Em. So the Chinuch writes the mitzvah Lamed Gimel, Sheitin Alibay Ki Av V'Em Heim Sibas Hayoyse Be'olam. They are the cause of your existence. V'Alkein Be'emes Roy Loy Lassus Them Kol Kovay B'Chol Te'el Shayukam. You have to give your parents all the Kovay and all the Elis. Right, utmost to honor and benefit them as much as you could. They brought you into this world. They taught when you were an infant, right, before you know what was going on in the world, they could all to take care of you. Parents are up all hours of night. They never said there's no time to care for you. You can get up 5 times, 10 times a night. They don't say, listen, I got a minion tomorrow, I got a shear tomorrow, I got to go to work. Please take care of yourself. Here's your dummy, here's your bottle, right? Just take care of yourself. I don't have time to deal with you. There's no such thing. Wherever it was, 24/7, they're on duty. The parents are on duty for the children. So therefore, a child should never say he has no time or no energy to take care of the parents. Parents are up all night using all the energy to take care of the child. And with this, I bring a story of two people who finished davening at a late minyan ma'ariv. Late ma'ariv minyan. Let's say latest Ma'ariv, let's say 10:30, so we finish 11 o'clock. Finish 10 to 11, finish Ma'ariv. And one person knows, let's say Reuven, knows the Shimon doesn't have his car here. So Reuven says, we'd like a lift home. I can take you home. He says, no, I'm not going home. He says, where are you going? He says, I'm going to my parents. At this hour, 10:45, you're going to your parents, the elderly people, what are you doing there? He says, well, I'll tell you what. I come home from work, help my wife with the children, eat dinner, and I go to my kviyas. When I finish with my home, I come here to have a Ma'ariv, and then I could take care of my parents, the elderly people. I finish the day off with them. I take care of their bills with some repairs, you know, help them get into bed. And when everything is settled down, I come home. So Reuven says, wow, that's such a noble act, such a laudable thing. You do this once a week? So Shimon says, no, I do it every night. Reuven said, every night you go there? So Shimon said, innocently, yeah, but they're my parents. He couldn't chap what he meant. Of course, they're my parents. Gotta do it every night. That's obligated to the parent. Now, there are unique rewards in honoring parents, because it says, L'man yarichun yamecha, but the next, in the Aseres HaDibros of Eschanan, says, L'man yitav lecha, yitav lecha. You have good years, right? People are always trying to fight the degenerative diseases of old age, but the best health insurance is honoring one's parents. And parents should realize to train the child, right, it's beneficial for them because it makes them into a mensch. They'll train them to accept authority when they get older. The story that Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein tells over of a bachar in Panovich who came to his Rosh Shiva after he sat Shiva for his mother, and he told the Rosh Shiva that my mother came to me in a dream. And she told me as follows, don't think it's easy there in the next world, punishment for various is severe, but one thing relieves me of my suffering. And that's fulfilling the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em that I did with Mesiras Nefesh. So basically, a person has to train your children, stand up twice for you each day, once in the morning, once in the evening. Serve them, serve you on Shabbos. Right? Children should compete. Who should bring, you know, whatever, the drink or whatever the parent is missing at the Shabbos meal. Not, it's your turn, it's my turn, I'm too tired. They should run, everybody should run, they want to get the mitzvah. They should never interrupt. When the parent is talking, don't interrupt the parent. You wait till I finish talking. So don't answer before me. Right? Somebody asked me a question about the parasha, and one I know the answer. Good. You know, the father says first. Right? So on the Shiva Devarim Agurim, he doesn't speak in front of Misha Godlam Yimeno, B'chag Lav Minyan. They should learn to speak softly. You speak softly to your parent. Don't demand. Don't give the impression that it's the parent's obligation to serve the children. Kabed es bincho av es bitecho. Right? I got to do that for my children. The children are the ones who have to serve the parents. Now the Chai Odom says that the main part of the mitzvah is the mitzvah of machshava, and he said you should consider your parents kedoshim v'nechmadei haaretz, great and honorable people. So how do you do that? Parents not kedoshim v'nechmadei haaretz. So Chaim Shmulev, Sir Rambam said as follows: each person has some noble midah, right? And you have to search and consider them as the greatest person in that midah. Whether he's generous, he's a Baal Chesed, never misses his davening, never misses his shir, no matter how late he goes to sleep at night. He has a certain good midah. Everybody has a good midah. So take that midah, blow it up, and he's the gadol in that midah. And children should consider it's a schus, a privilege to honor the parents, not a burden. Another important aspect is not only what a child does, but it's how he does it. When you're doing it, as they say, service with a smile. Chazal say Masechta Kedushin, which the Meiri explains, that a child can serve a parent a gourmet meal, but if he expresses annoyance while he's doing so, for example, it's too expensive or he came at the wrong time, so he'll be punished. But another child can minimally give a parent some coffee, some cake, or whatever, a small thing, with a smile, he gets a double reward. So it's not what you do, but it's how you do it. You should be happy serving the parent, and do it with a smile, and let them feel that you're happy serving them. Don't forget, when a person is married, he has to also honor his parents, right? As long as it doesn't interfere too much with his household obligations. If it does, he has to struggle what to do. But don't forget that parents deserve honor, even if the marriage also. As we move on in the Seres HaDibros, the last thing we'll speak, of course, is Erev Shabbos on Kedusha Shabbos. The Shama V'Zocha B'Dibrecha, right? We have Shama V'Zocha and the Seres HaDibros. And Shabbos is designated as a day of Menucha. Right? Ba Shabbos, Ba Menucha, Rashi says in the beginning of Bereshis. But Menucha is not an absence of work, because Shabbos is called the gift, a Matana Toiva. The absence, but what is Shabbos? It's a state of being that a person enters sensing something metaphysical, ruchani. Like when a person goes to the Kaisel, right? He senses something there. Now, if you've noticed in the news recently, when the Vice President, Mike Pence, visited the Kaisel, he had his yarmulke on, touching the Kaisel, he had his eyes closed, I think he put a kfitel in there. I don't know whether it was a show or not, but maybe he sensed something ruchani, right, when he went. Even a guy can do such a thing, even though he's a devout Christian. But he sensed something. You sensed something there. So Shabbos is something which we have to sense, right? Something ruchani. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give us a taste of Olam Haba, so he gave us Shabbos, which is 1/60th of Olam Haba, Chazal say Masechta Brachos. Now the mitzvah of Shabbos is mitzvah Kovah Shabbos and Oinek Shabbos. What's the difference between the two? Kovah Shabbos is what you do before Shabbos, to prepare for Shabbos. Oinek Shabbos, for example, you prepare your home, put on nice clothing, you take a bath, take a shower, you tidy up the house, cover the tables, right? All these things, groom the body, all these things are Kovah Shabbos. Oinek Shabbos is what you do on Shabbos to enjoy Shabbos. As we mentioned before, Shabbos is the 60th of Olam Haba. So we say, what am I talking about? Who senses Olam Haba in Shabbos? So Kedusha Slavi says, Rabbi Levi Yisrael Bar Dishva says, V'Shabbos yochol kol odom l'hafkenu ha-tayrig ha-ruchani. Everybody can feel this tayrig ha-ruchani in Shabbos. It's not limited to the big admarim and the chassidim Rosh Hashivas. Any average person can sense the Kedusha of Shabbos. So how do we do that? First of all, don't run into Shabbos into a frenzy, right? Don't make Shabbos the last minute. You come back right before Shabbos, jump into the shower, get dressed, run to the shower. You won't feel Shabbos the way. It's not like you walk into a house called Shabbos and you get Shabbos. In the hot weather, if a person is walking around in the heat and he goes to an air-conditioned room, as soon as he walks in, he's cool. Or in the cold somewhere, he goes to a room that has steam on, he feels warm. It's not Shabbos, not something you just walk in and you feel Shabbos. What Shabbos is, you have to prepare yourself beforehand. So make sure you stop work early enough so that you can feel Shabbos. Yaakov Kamenetsky once said, he said that in America, when the Yidden came, there was big nisoyan, right, to keep Shabbos. The Goyim told him, you don't come on Shabbos, don't come back on Monday. Right? He says, Baruch Hashem, the Yidden were able to overcome the difficulties of Shabbos, but they have yet to overcome the challenge of Erev Shabbos. Erev Shabbos has to be overcome. That's what he once said. Now on Shabbos itself, right, we have to enjoy it. Don't talk or read business. Anything. Don't say Nishlev Shabbos Kerd, it doesn't help, because know what you're talking about. Right? How much are you selling? Are you selling your automobile? Right? 3,000 peanuts, Nishlev Shabbos Kerd. Right? It doesn't help. It's still an act of Chilul Shabbos. That's what the Pelier says. When a person books business on Shabbos, it's an act of Chilul Shabbos. So you don't have to break a window, you don't have to repair something, Mimchal Shabbos. A person who talks about business, prohibited speech on Shabbos, is an act of Chilul Shabbos. Even thinking about business is also, should be avoided rather. Although it's mutar, as we say in the Zmiris, Yehuru mutarim, but it says in Shulchan Aruch Siman Shin Vav that person should abstain from thinking about business, right? It says v'yeinav kil kol malachta yesuya, should be already done. Don't think about your business on Shabbos because it gets the person about Torah. And kosh again, you shouldn't speak about something which will cause him worry. Mr. Brewer writes, you have to walk differently on Shabbos, right? Hiluachatei benachas, we say in the Zmiris. Well, don't run except be going for a mitzvah. You have to enjoy the food, mitzvah taste it before Shabbos, make sure it has a good taste to it. And on Shabbos, you have neshama yisera. So Rashi explains Masechta Beitza at the second beginning of the second parak. What's the neshama yisera? Zureichav lev lemenucha v'simcha v'yerecha v'yishta v'yinashri katzah love. He has a zureichav lev, for break the heart, so you try and translate that. For menucha, he wants to rest, he wants to enjoy himself, he wants to eat and drink, v'yinashri katzah love. And it seems you always want doubles of challah during the week. If you have a challah meal, probably you won't want a second. On Shabbos, you want another, a little bit more, a little bit extra. Interesting, Bnei Yisachar, he writes in his Sefer, he says as follows. He said, yes, interesting Kashi. He says, why do Chazal enact three different Nusach HaBrachas for Shemoneh Esrei on Shabbos? During the week, we have the same Nusach for Shemoneh Esrei. Why on Shabbos is it different? So some say it's different Shabbos of the world. He says because Chazal did not want to make Shemoneh Esrei a little bit boring. Say the same thing three times, it gets boring. So they change the Nusach to make it more interesting. That's what he tines. All right, as I state, what I learned from there is something else. When you serve meals on Shabbos, change the menu a little bit. Don't serve the same salads all three times. Say one on Friday night, one for Shabbos by day, one Shal Shudas. Maybe you have two varieties of fish. You serve the same fish the third meal, if the second time ready, right, it doesn't have the same geschmack. You serve the same type of salads all the time, then if the second time, it's not the same geschmack. Change around, because we want to enjoy Shabbos. So we put all of this together. What we mentioned before, you groom your body, tidy the home, stop work early, prepare the delicacies, and it puts calm and tranquility. You put yourself in a state of mind to enjoy the spiritual benefits of Shabbos. We can say that Shabbos breaks the cord that tied man's mind to earthly matters, and allowing him to soar upward, get more to the adav ruchni. It breaks the cords of gashmis. As one person once said, Shabbos is not a day off; Shabbos is a day on. We have to think that it's a day on, not a day off. So why don't we feel Shabbos? Might as well after all this. So the Shlo says very interesting insight. He said because Chazal say Shabbos is sort of the only Shabbos. People have einig atzmai, right? They want to fill the baich, as they say. If you eat as much and you overeat, you eat too much, and what happens afterwards is that you're so exhausted from the eating, you just fall on the couch on the sofa from exhaustion. That's not called einig Shabbos. That's called einig atzmai. That's why people do not feel the einig Shabbos when they eat. And especially after meal times, the person talks business, politics, lashon hara about the schools, about the teachers, about different groups, right, about politics in Eretz Yisrael, about the front parties. It's lashon hara. That's not what the Shabbos meal is for. The Shabbos meal is for singing Zmiris and saying different Kerem and enjoying the food. Should be enough. If you want to speak about the school, the child that's responsible with the school, with the teacher, not the Shabbos meal. Let him sit down privately and tell you the problem and see how you can sort it out. In the back, one of my booklets is achieving a harmonious Shabbos meal, which I speak about this theme. I just want to end off with a little anecdote as follows. There's a story of a girl who was Rachmaninoslan blind, but she wasn't a gan, a kindergarten. And you know, people who can't see, so their other senses are very much are developed. So she can feel. So she was standing in the gun, and she said, teacher, look out the window. Don't you see a tractor there? She can't see, but she felt something. She said, no, I don't see a tractor. What are you talking about? Teacher, there's a tractor. Look, you see a tractor. How did she know there's a tractor there? Because the tractor was going. The floor was vibrating very gently, and her body felt it. That very gentle thing. She was able to feel it, able to sense it, right? So the teacher says, I'm sorry, you know, go back and play, and we'll see. No, teacher, you got to tell me what the tractor looks like. So finally she looks out, she says, oh, I see the tractor. So the girl tells the teacher as follows, teacher, you have to stop looking and stop feeling. That's what she told the teacher. So Shabbos also, you have to stop trying to see how we can feel Shabbos, not just to go through Shabbos, right, to run through Shabbos, right? Victor Miller used to say the mashal, he said, imagine a truck, a lorry, a big lorry, a huge lorry going from south to North England, right, with hours and hours of travel, to bring some wares, to deliver some wares. And when he comes back, so his boss asks him, how was your trip? He says, great, I didn't get one traffic ticket, one violation, the truck is in great shape, I filled it up with petrol, everything's gavaldi. No, what did you sell? Oh, I forgot to sell the wares. Forgot to sell the wares, that's what we went for. So that's with Shabbos. You go through Shabbos, if you get about earning Shabbos, we have to try and make the Shabbos different and enjoy Shabbos at the end, when Shabbos goes out. Okay, thank you very much. And there are some things for purchase at the end. If you want to look at them, some of the booklets, we'll take the Keep It Up aim.
Tell me why, if you don't say something to each other.
Somebody told me, Ivo Buchsen was nice, that his mother-in-law interfered and made them machlokes between them, and once he got served, he told his mother, if you want to listen to your mother, go to her. If you want to listen to me, you can stay with me. How will you be covered? How would she be keep it aim?
I've been in situations like that.
So these two things.